Amen. Well, I can say it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I'm just thankful for getting to be here again today. Thankful for all the faces I see out there in the crowd today. Thankful for the crowd, amen, that showed up this morning. You chose a good time to come to the house of the Lord today. And I believe you made a good choice. Amen. I believe the Lord will bless you for it. And if you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to take our text from this. Very short reading of Scripture, but it's very powerful. Amen. We've heard a lot of it. It's familiar. Just bear with us today and just pray for us that we'd do the will of the Lord and do what He'd have us to do. That it would go out and that the Word would minister unto people today. Luke chapter 10, the last portion of that chapter, starting at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Said, "Now it came to pass as they went," this is Jesus and His disciples, "that He entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to Him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath let me alone to serve? Bid her therefore that she help me.' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, Mary. Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her.'" That's as far as I go with my reading today. Amen. That little story touches me because I can think of so many times in my life where what I was doing, amen, was bogging me down and cumbering me. There's a story in the Bible, I believe it's about a fig tree. The master goes to see if it's bore any fruit, and he begins to see that there's no fruit on it. He begins to tell his servant, says, "Why cumbereth it the ground? Why does it restrict the ground? Why do we even have this tree?" Amen. And the servant said, "Lord, just let it alone another year. I'll dung it about, I'll fertilize it, and then you can decide if you want to cut it down then." I'm glad the Lord is merciful today. I mean, God looked upon me as an old wretched sinner one day. Amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, He'd have cut this old dry fig tree down. But Jesus, thank God, said to the Lord, "Just let it alone another year. Let it alone a little longer, and I'm going to fertilize it, and it'll bear fruit." And thank God He allowed me that choice and that chance to bear fruit for Him today. But I want you to notice here, Mary and Martha, we just sung about them in a couple different songs. Jesus is going with His disciples, and they continue to travel many miles in many different regions, and they just happened upon a certain village here, and the town they were in was called Bethany. That's where Mary and Martha lived with their brother Lazarus. We'll get to them in a little bit. But as they was going into Bethany, I believe this is when He first met Martha, because it talks about her being named a certain woman named Martha. I don't think they had known each other until then. But she received Him into her house. No doubt she knew about Jesus, His mighty works that He'd done, His miracles that He does. She probably wanted to get the place all spick and span, wanted to get it good and cleaned up, wanted to get it presentable for the Lord, the Master that was coming her way, wanted to make it look good. I tell you what, there's people out there today, Brother Robbie, they want to get their life cleaned up, they want to get things swept up, they want to get things looking pretty for the Lord. So when He comes by, amen, instead of letting the Lord come on by as you are and letting Him do the cleaning today, amen. She worried herself about with much serving. Jesus said she was cumbered about with much serving. Cumbered about, surrounded by this idea that she had to serve as much as she did. I looked up some words here and I wrote down some notes that come to me. And as I was studying on this message, the word cumbered means careful and troubled about much serving. It means, amen, that the cumbered talks about being to draw around or away from and to distract, to be driven about mentally, and to be over-occupied, too busy about a thing. And I begin to think about it too. It's almost like being restricted. You think about the parable of the sower went forth to sow the word and to sow the seed, and when he cast it on the ground, one of those places said that the thorns came up and choked the word. That choked, I believe, is another good word to represent cumber. Amen. To cumber and restrict and basically asphyxiate what was intended to happen. That really struck me where it talks about she was driven about mentally. Amen. It was just enough to drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Amen. Working about this serving that she was trying to do, make things look presentable. Amen. It got on her so bad it had distracted her and drew her away from Christ and from the things that mattered. Amen. She was cumbered about it. It was besetting her. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, I believe it's verse 1, it talks about lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. How many things in this life just easily beset us and begin to draw us away from God, begin to draw us away and distract us. There's more distractions in the world today to keep you away from God and to keep your attention off God than there ever has been in the whole history of mankind.
Yes, sir.
And it brings you down mentally.
Yeah, good.
It begins to wear on your mind.
Yes, come on,
Martha's mind was troubled. Jesus said later on she was careful and troubled about many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. The same parable about the sower, it says that some of that seed fell on the ground. Amen. And the things of this world, the cares of this world just choked it up. The cares of this world will choke you up. They'll eat you up, spit you out, have you for dinner. Amen. And use you as fertilizer in their garden. Amen. You just have to be able to lay your cares, casting all your cares upon Him, for He loves you. Amen.
Amen, brother. Praise the Lord.
Peter knew what it meant to be about careful. Peter was careful about many things. Jesus tells us over there in Matthew chapter 6, when the Sermon on the Mount, it begins to talk about the people about to consider the lilies of the field, and consider the sparrows, the fowls of the air. They sow not, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. How much are you not more better than they? Amen. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Why take thought for raiment? Amen. He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, even in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Martha was cumbered about much serving. Jesus, once again, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 here, continues the message that He's just talked about the lilies. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir.
And His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Right.
Let tomorrow be tomorrow. It may never come in the first place.
Right.
We ain't got no promise of seeing tomorrow, amen. All we can do is live for today, the best we can for the Lord, and trust Him every waking moment, and hold His hand as we journey through this life.
Yes.
Amen. Jesus said, seek first, above all these other things, the last things He said on that Sermon on the Mount there in that particular chapter was, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yeah, good preaching, brother. Come on.
Martha wasn't putting the right things first.
Yeah.
Martha was putting serving first. I want you to notice something, folks.
Come on,
serving is not, there's nothing wrong with service.
Right.
Jesus talked about being the servants of all.
Right.
If you want to be the greatest of all, you must be the servant of all.
Right. Come on.
But there comes a point sometimes that what God has ordained you to do, what God has given you to do, sometimes, amen, there's times for, the Bible talks about there's a season and a time for everything. There's a time to reap and a time to sow. Sometimes there's a time to do something and a time to reap the rewards of the things that you've done.
Yeah.
Amen. And here Martha was so worried and cumbered about serving, she had gotten burnt out on it.
Yeah, that's true.
It had begun to take her mind. It had begun to take her hope and her happiness and her joy.
Amen.
Began to take things that meant the most to her away.
Amen.
And it began to take, amen, her peace.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
You're going to take her peace of mind away.
Right.
There comes a time when sometimes you just have to take a break. Sometimes you have to take a vacation. Sometimes you have to go off and just be with the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. These bodies aren't going to last forever.
Right.
Amen. Even Jesus, when He was with His disciples one time, He told them, come with me to this place. I think they were going to an island. He says, come with me and rest a little while.
Amen.
Well, they couldn't even rest there because the crowds followed Him. But the point was, Jesus talked about rest. He even said, come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Martha here,
come on, brother.
I almost believe that serving was Martha's gift. Mm-hmm. She had a gift for that. She had a knack for that. Mm-hmm. But it become an obsession. Mm-hmm. It almost become an idol. Amen. A lot of times God gives us things. He's given me the gift to play music, and sometimes all I can think about is the guitar.
Yeah.
All I can think about is how to get better on that thing, how to play better, how to sound better, how to come up with better sounding chords, and how to make other songs sound better. A lot of times I get obsessed with that, and that's not a good thing, because that's trying to serve that rather than serving God who made it in the first place.
Brother. Good preaching. That's right.
Sometimes we got to put ourselves in check.
That's good, brother.
So we've talked about Martha.
Let's sing Jesus.
And Martha here
said
she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet. Now, it doesn't say also in the same sense of, well, Martha sat at Jesus' feet too. They're talking about she had a sister, Mary. This sister just happened to sit at Jesus' feet.
Right.
Talking about Mary here. She also sat at Jesus' feet. She had a sister, and the sister, by the way, sat at Jesus' feet. That's what it's talking about. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him, came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care? How many times have you asked God that?
Yeah.
Lord, don't you even care?
Come on, brother.
Boy, you get frustrated. You wonder why prayers aren't being answered. You wonder why things aren't being done.
Yeah.
And you say, Lord, don't you even care?
Come on, brother.
This is the Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. That not too long after this, maybe, I don't know exactly the timeline, but this is the one that came down the road and was looking for Lazarus.
Yeah.
Seeking Lazarus, who had died.
Amen.
This is the one that had raised the dead. This is the one that had fed 5,000 and 4,000 another place.
Yeah.
This is the one that was, that John and all them said, behold the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, Amen. Of whom I'm not even worthy for him to unlatch my shoe.
Yeah, that's in Jesus.
But Martha says, Lord, don't you even care?
Yeah.
My sister hath left me alone, left me to serve alone.
Yeah.
Bitter, therefore, that she helped me. And I want you to notice something. Mary was about a different thing. And Jesus told her later on that she had made the right choice. See, Martha had got so obsessed in what she was doing and what God had given her to do.
Yeah. Amen.
She took it a little too far. She began to think, well, I'll just pull so-and-so away from what God has given them to do. Have them help me.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You have to work out your own salvation.
Yeah.
With fear and trembling.
Brother.
Amen. So-and-so down the road, their gift may not be my gift. Matter of fact, if I pull them into my gift, they may mess up the whole thing.
That's right.
What God has called me to do, He'll help me to do it. He'll help me perform it. The Bible says that in Philippians. Faithful is He that called you, who will also do it.
Good, brother.
But He said, don't you care? She said, don't you care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Here I am all alone, Lord. Make her come help me. Make her come partake in my gift. Get her out of her element and put her in mine. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. I was thinking about this going down the road.
Yeah, come on.
I don't know how many times in the Bible that Jesus had to say somebody's name twice.
Yeah, that's in Jesus.
Or more. I was trying to think, and I couldn't think of another example. Maybe there is, I don't know. He might have told Peter twice, I don't know. But He called Martha twice, and I believe maybe it's because she was trying to set the table, trying to wash the dishes, trying to over here and get certain things in place, trying to light the candles, amen, trying to get this and that done.
Yeah.
And Jesus over here in the background, He said, Martha, that didn't get her attention.
Yeah.
So He probably physically went up to her, grabbed her by the shoulder, and said, Martha,
that's in glory.
Pay attention to me. Well, how many times are we like that? We're going about to and fro, scattered all over the place. I got to get this done. This bill needs to be paid. This person needs to get off to school. This person needs to go to soccer practice. And this needs to happen. And that needs to happen all the while the still small voice is calling your name.
Yeah. Amen. That's true, brother.
That's powerful.
Amen. Come on.
What if you just stopped a minute?
Yes.
And listen for God. Especially when things are going out of control.
Yeah. Amen, brother.
Martha. Martha.
Amen.
Thou art careful and troubled about many things.
Yeah.
And I want you to notice this next verse. This is I didn't give you the thought.
Amen.
This next verse is where my thought comes from. Thou art careful about many things, but one thing is needful.
Yeah.
And Mary hath chosen that good part.
That's right.
Which shall not be taken away from her. Arthur, you're in this and you may have made your bed. Now you got to lie in it.
You bet.
Instead of trusting God, you've tried to do it all yourself. You've become obsessed with it, whatever it may be. It may be your gift. It may be something God's called you to do. It may be your job, whatever it is. But yeah. Something has gotten out of control and you become cumbered with it.
Yeah.
It has harnessed you and bogged you down. But Mary had chosen that good part. See, that good part is my thought today. That good part.
Amen.
I begin to look up these words, and the word good in that sense means pleasant, agreeable, joyful, happy, excellent, distinguished, upright, and honorable.
Amen.
She chose something that brought joy to her.
Amen.
She chose something that brought happiness. Yeah. She chose something that was honorable and was upright.
Right.
And the word part is distinct from the whole. It's an assigned part, a portion, or a share.
Yeah,
you see, one thing is a part of something. Martha was cumbered about many things.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus said, out of all those many things,
mm-hmm.
only one thing's needful.
Yeah, that's right.
There's a book I read months ago, I guess. And it's helped me a lot. It's called The One Thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I think it's the guy that started Keller Williams Realty. And he talks in that book about how whatever you find that you're one thing, you need to focus on that. Because everything else is distracting.
Mm-hmm.
He says, what's the one thing I can do today that such by doing it will make everything else easier or obsolete? What's one thing? If you just narrow everything down and just keep asking questions. Well, I need to go do this. Well, how you do that? Well, I got to just break it down. Just keep going until you find the one thing that will lead up mm-hmm. to everything else. And he says it creates a domino effect. You get that one thing figured out, and everything else take care of itself. See, Jesus said, put first the kingdom of God.
That's right. That's right.
That's what Mary was doing. That was the one thing that she required.
Yeah.
That was the part that Jesus had declared good. Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and she heard His word.
The
book of Amos talks about how there's going to be a famine in the last days. Not of bread, of water.
Yeah.
But a famine of not the word of God, but of hearing. The Word of God.
Amen.
Hearing the Word of God. You know, we can read it, and we can read it, and we can read it. And I commend everybody that can read the Bible through. I've not been able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I get off on so much tangents and so many rabbit trails, I can't stick to one chapter. That's just how my mind works. I have tried and tried to read the Bible through, and I can't do it. Because most of the time, God just puts me somewhere else, and I'm chasing everything. Trying to figure out all these other things.
Bless you, Lord. Yeah.
And that's a good thing. But he told Martha that you lack one thing. You need to hear the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Hear the Word of God. We can read it, like I said, but when we read it, doesn't mean we're actually hearing it. Doesn't mean we're actually listening to God about it. Jesus
right.
said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches.
Right.
Are we really listening to God?
Amen.
Are we really listening? A lot of time we get down to pray, and we just pray, and it's good to pray. But do we ever get down before we pray and truly listen?
Yeah, amen, brother.
Sometimes God touches my heart and He'll give me a message or He'll give me a thought or He'll give me a song. God works with me a lot in song.
Yeah.
Somebody's up preaching and I'm supposed to sing. About 5 minutes before that preacher gets done with his sermon, 5 to 10 minutes, it always works out this way. The Lord will just get my attention.
Man.
And all of a sudden I'll think, what song do I need to sing? Usually it's a song that goes right along with the message. The Lord has blessed me in that area. So I know, I've, after many years of experience, I know to look for that. I know that's something God has given me to do. Amen. So I've learned to hear what God is saying to me. And I know that's not an easy concept, to hear the Lord. It's not like the Lord's going to come out and call an audible voice and talk to you like He did to Adam in the garden. But the point is, by reading the Word and listening to what it says and learning about it, and learning how others listen to God, you'll be able to find your way of listening to God.
Amen, brother.
You'll be able to find what works for you.
Yeah. Listen, Jesus.
See, Mary found that good part. She found what worked for her. She found that portion that gave her joy, that gave her gladness, that made her distinguished. So distinguished. Later on, we'll find out what she did that made her honorable for many years
Amen.
To come. But he says here, she's chosen that good part. Now, the word chosen is very important, too. Because that tells me that Martha chose to serve, and she chose to let it consume her.
Mm-hmm.
But Mary, by her own free will, had chose something better. She sat at Jesus' feet. We find Mary once again, real quick, in John chapter 12. This is after Jesus had come and raised Lazarus from the dead. Now we find both Mary and Martha beginning to wonder and question God, question Jesus. They both said to his face, "If thou had been here, my brother had not died."
Yeah.
Right after that, we find that Jesus wept. Every time I read that scripture, Jesus wept, I think it's because of a different thing. I realize something else is coming. Yes, he loved Lazarus. And they said, "Behold how much he loved him," when they saw he wept for him. But now I wonder if he didn't weep because their faith was beginning to falter. Mm-hmm. He had told Martha, "I'm the resurrection and the life."
Man.
Martha said, "I know he'll raise him up the last day." But no, Jesus said, "No, today I am, right now, the resurrection and the life." She began to doubt. He said, "Set out unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou should see the glory of God." So he raises Lazarus from the dead. And in John chapter 12, we find something a little different here. Verse 1 says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany." Remember I said that was Bethany, where that village was earlier. "Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead." Now earlier they were in Martha's house, and I think that's where they still are. "There they made him a supper," Lazarus, "and Martha served." Once again, Martha is serving. But this time, there's no mention of her being covered.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Her service was not the problem. Mm-hmm. It's what she let it become.
That's right. That's
and I
right.
believe by this point,
that's right.
she's happy. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. She finds joy in serving others. She finds joy in serving Christ, in setting the table and feeding others. And it's become a joy, not a burden. She's found that happiness again.
Amen. That's right, brother.
When she sought God first, God made it work out. There's a quote that I love. C.S. Lewis, the famous writer of many Christian books and the Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote a letter to somebody one time. I believe it was a letter. He said, "Put first things first, and we get second things thrown in."
Yeah.
Put That's second things first, and we lose both first and second things.
That's
true. I believe she found her first love again. Mm-hmm. And the service was no longer a burden. It was no longer cumbersome. But it was the good part. But it says, "Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment and spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." Once again, we find Mary at Jesus' feet.
Amen.
She's still partaking of the good part.
Right.
"Then said one of his disciples," this is very interesting, Judas Iscariot, we know he's the betrayer, "Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Then he said, "Not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put in therein." Mm-hmm. Then Jesus said, "Later, alone against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor ye always have with you, but me ye have not always."
Right.
In another few of the two more Gospels, it mentions the same story. It begins to say that this has been done for my burial, and this will be a memorial for her from here on. But it also says something else very interesting. And I picked this up last night as I was studying.
Jesus.
The other Gospels say not only Jesus, but the disciples had something to say about this. When she had that pound of spikenard. What I've heard, I believe, it's either this one or the other instance where the alabaster box was broken, one or the other, maybe both, was a year's wages in that one little bottle. And Judas saw that, he saw that, and the disciples saw that. The other Gospels say, to what purpose is this waste? Mm-hmm. Well, that got my attention.
Amen.
I'm going to read a little bit of this here a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But whatever God's given you to do, not everybody's going to think it's worth much.
That's right.
Some people might call your talent wasteful.
Yeah, you bet.
Some people might call the time you take in prayer to pray for others wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
How many times we've heard wasting time?
Mm-hmm.
Some people may tell you your singing is wasteful. Some people may tell you your preaching is wasteful.
Mm-hmm.
The devil may tell you what you're doing is wasteful.
That's right. That's right.
But remember what Jesus said.
Right, brother.
Jesus already confirmed to Mary she chosen that which was right. Whether it was wasteful to others or not, what Jesus says is the final word. We need to take Jesus at His word more. Brother Robin.
Amen.
Rather than listen to what the world says,
yes,
and worry about what the world says, we need to listen to what thus saith the Lord. We need to hear the Word and find ourselves at the feet of Jesus. John found himself resting on the bosom of Jesus. He loved him so much, he laid on his bosom.
Right.
What was wasteful to other people was the gift that God had given Mary.
Amen.
And she didn't let that stop her. And also Jesus said, that will not be taken away from her.
Amen.
If we do boldly and obediently what God has called us to do, it won't be wasted. It won't be void. God said in Isaiah chapter 55, I believe 11 it is, my word will not go out void, but it will return to me and accomplish that purpose to which I sent it. It won't be wasteful.
Right.
Really quickly, there's one more place I'd like to go to give you an idea of this one thing. There's many one things in the Bible. Jesus told Martha, one thing is needful. It's only one thing that's very necessary. In Mark chapter 10, we hear of a rich young ruler. And I'll give you a little background real quick. In verse 17 is when it starts. He talks about a rich young ruler who begins to ask Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He was rich, but he was needing. He wanted an inheritance. I believe he was greedy.
Yeah.
And it says there, he said, well, first of all, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. Verse 20, Mark chapter 10, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Now, for one thing, that's pretty arrogant to say. Basically, he's saying, I'm perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There's none good, no, not one. Jesus just told him this, and in the next two verses, he says, well, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm that one person. He may have been good. He may have been trying to follow the letter of the law, which basically misses the point anyway.
Right.
Because Jesus came to fulfill the law.
Man.
And it becomes such a legalistic thing. They were so involved with the law, quote unquote, that they get mad at Jesus for picking ears of corn on the Sabbath day or for healing somebody on the Sabbath day or for saying that they didn't wash their hands when they ate and they're unclean.
Yeah.
It become a ritual, become a tradition. It hadn't become holy anymore.
Right.
It just the holiness had left it. But he said in verse 21, Jesus beholding him, loved him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad Jesus has a different perspective than I do.
Amen.
I'll begin to think how arrogant the man was. But Jesus saw him. He knew his heart. And he loved him. And he said to him, one thing thou lackest.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that. One thing. How close do we get to heaven sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
But we miss it from one thing.
Yeah, one thing.
One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Man.
And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions.
Yeah.
I believe the great possessions had him.
That's right. Yeah, that's what happened.
He had great possessions.
Right.
I noticed here that Jesus,
right,
the one thing that he lacked was the thing that basically possessed him.
Yeah.
For Martha, it was the serving that she was obsessed with, and it became her possession.
Amen.
For this man, it was his riches. He didn't have a problem with the commandments, but what he had a problem was with the riches that he accumulated. A lot of times in our life, if we'll just look, sometimes the one thing is the thing that has us the most occupied.
Amen.
Sometimes it's the one thing that God wants us to do the opposite of, so that we can put it in His hands and see it multiply. When the little lad had a few loaves and fishes, it wasn't much in his hand, Brother Robin. But when he put it in the Lord's hands, he multiplied it and he fed a multitude upon multitudes. Men and women and children, a multitude were fed, and they had 12 baskets left over to take home and eat off the rest. When the old widow woman, in the book of, I believe it's Kings over there, Elisha was going to give her a little blessing from the Lord. And she had debtors coming in and trying to collect the debt that her husband owed after he died. They were going to take her sons away and have them into bondage and try to pay off the debt through servitude. But Elisha come and told her to take what little she had of the oil and get more vessels and keep pouring in.
Yeah.
The little she had, God could use to make much. There's a song, little as much when God is in it.
Praise the Lord.
Moses, when he had been asked, when God had told him to go free the Israelites, take them out of Pharaoh's bondage, Moses said, oh, I can't. I can't talk. I can't do this. I can't do that. God said, what's that in thy hand?
Yeah. Amen.
What's in your hand?
Yeah.
What is it I've given you? And he had a staff.
Praise the Lord.
And God was able to use that staff to turn into a serpent and then back. And God was able to use that staff to part the Red Sea and to close the Red Sea on the enemy. God gives us things. Whatever's in our hand, God wants us to use. Sometimes it can become too much and we have to sit back and say, okay, Lord, this has become overwhelming. I can't do it. That's the one thing sometimes we got to give over to God. The one thing that troubles us the most is to hand it over to God and let Him use it. It wasn't that the man had to lose all his riches. He wanted to see if he loved the riches more than he loved God.
That's right.
It wasn't Martha that she had to quit serving people, because we find her serving again later.
Right.
She had to find the right reason for service.
Right.
She had to be able to find the good part in service.
Amen.
Me, I have to find the good part in ministering through song.
Amen.
You might have to find the good part in whatever God has burned inside your heart. Amen. Jeremiah said there was a burning inside his heart he could not forbear.
Amen.
For the Word of God. It may be for you. It may be for prayer. It may be for witnessing. I don't know what it may be. It may be for whatever you got to do on the job. It may be anything. We have to give it to the Lord. We have to hear what He has to say to us about it. I'm going to close with basically a summary of this message to maybe hit it home a little harder.
Preaching, brother.
I wrote this last night while I was pondering what I had just studied on to kind of clear it out. Says Martha was cumbered about much serving, the key word being much. Service in and of itself isn't a bad thing, but much service can easily lead to burnout, which Martha was suffering from.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes a break from service or whatever else we're obsessed with is necessary or needful, as Jesus puts it. Martha may have had a gift for service to others, but it had somehow become her master instead of God. Sometimes your gift can become your curse, especially if you let it take over your everyday, every waking moment. It can cumber you, distract you, drive you mentally unstable, enough to make you jealous of others who have found that good part. See, Martha was jealous of Mary. The portion of the one thing that will bring them the most joy and happiness and honor. Mary had found that good part for herself. She found it at Jesus' feet while hearing His word. It is only in the stillness of such moments with Jesus that we can truly find our joy, happiness, and purpose.
Amen.
Mary chose that good part while Martha was being driven and forced by her serving. Martha was focused on others while Mary was focused on Jesus. Quote by C.S. Lewis comes to mind. I'll say it again here. Put first things first and we get second things thrown in. Put second things first and we lose both first and second things.
Amen.
Mary put Jesus first. Martha put herself and others first. And no wonder Jesus designated Mary's choice as the better of the two. Later on, we find a similar situation in John 12 after Jesus raised Lazarus, Mary, and Martha's brother from the dead. Except this time, when we find Martha serving, there's no mention of her being cumbered with it. Could it be that she had finally surrendered herself to Christ, had the resurrection of her brother brought her such great joy that she once again found the joy in that which she knew and performed best, service to others? And yet, again, we find Mary at Jesus' feet, this time with a pound of costly spikenard ointment. She was once again choosing that good part. However, this time, according to the other Gospels, Judas and the other disciples called her act, her good part, a waste.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the good portion, the thing, the one thing that you found that brings you joy and purpose and happiness will seem wasteful to others, even those who call themselves Christians. Do it anyway. If God has told you your gift or action is good for you, who is anyone else to condemn you for it?
Amen.
And I reference Romans 8 where it says, who shall condemn us? It's Christ that died for us. You must work out your own salvation and find your good part, regardless if anyone else gets jealous, disapproves, or declares it wasteful. So how about it? Are you a Martha or a Mary?
Amen.
See, also the rich young ruler, the one thing he lacked, his downfall was his treasure. So Jesus declares his one thing to be liberation from it.
Yeah. He bad.
That good part.
He bad.
Have you chosen that good part this morning? Have you been on the fence about choosing that good part? Begin to think, well, what will others think?
Yeah.
Will others think it's wasteful? Will others think that I'm crazy? Maybe something's been eating you up, and it's been disturbing you mentally, been drawing you away from Christ, been distracting you. This message is for somebody.
He
I know it's helped
bad.
Me.
He bad.
So as Brother Donald comes,
Amen.
Get the song. I invite you. If you have a need, if you have a desire to get back to the good part,
Amen.
If something's really beginning to burn you out and it's squeezed you like a lemon,
Come on,
then it's time to come to the Lord and lay it down. Say, Lord, this is yours. I can't do it. Amen. I've got to give it to you. I want to choose the good part. The good part's always found at Jesus' feet.
Praise the Lord.
It's always found when you hear what He has to say for you. When you hear His word. When you truly hear it. And you listen for it as He sings. Let's all stand.
Roll forward. Tis so sweet to
thank
You just to take Your
word.
Just to find the Lord this morning. Just to know the treasure.
Amen. Offer's open today. Whatever your need is, God can meet you.
Yes, by the Lord this morning, by the Holy
set you free this morning.
Amen.